The terms new, new improved, or renewed are often used in advertisements, promotions, and introductions, and denote a product or service is now different and better than the previous old one. This is done in all areas of life. The marketplace, politics, for example, New Democratic Party, Renewed Federalism, etc. Religion also has been using these terms. New Age is a term that is used a lot in promoting religious books, music, and a way of life. Even Bible translations use the term, for example, New King James, New International Version, etc. The Bible is filled with stories of people, churches, and nations who have experienced new beginnings in God's revelation of His purpose in their lives. New beginnings come at all stages of life. New beginnings started with an inmate in Colorado. This man was convicted and condemned to die three times. Three death sentences were given. And he was going to be put to death. And yet when his lawyer said to him, go to the judges when you appear before a committee to review your case, tell them that whatever, lie to them. And he said, no, now I am a new creation. I am a new, I have new beginnings. And he said, I will not lie, I'll tell them the truth. And he went before the judges and he told them that he was as guilty as he was condemned and he deserved to be put to death. And yet if they would allow him to live, he would help others find what he has found. Well, they believed him, and now he has a life sentence without parole. And yet he is the happiest man in that prison. When I sent him a letter, I believe it was the second letter or the first letter, he wrote back to say that the moment he received that letter from me, he came on his knees, face down on the ground, on the cement ground, and he wept for hours that people outside care for him. That is a new beginning, a new start, a transformed life. Adam and Eve were given a new beginning outside the garden. God put a mark on Cain and sent him to the land of Nod for a new beginning. Noah built an ark and God gave him and his family a new beginning. God told Abraham to go from his country, relatives and family to an undisclosed place. God said to him, I will make you a great nation, in Genesis 12:2. And Abraham responded to God and obeyed him. Nothing is so permanent and fixed that cannot be enriched with new beginnings. When you hear a new improved product. Now, before this was a new improved product, was the best product, they claim. And now they improved on it. And next year will come up with a different slogan, a new, renewed, or whatever product. So when they come up with these slogans, they only mean that it's as good as they can make it. But I believe when God makes a product, that product is perfect. God's greatest miracle, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, stand out as the eternal testimony of God's will and ability in providing new beginnings. Repentance opens the door to new beginnings. Faith brings the resources of God's grace to our needs in new beginnings. We all need new beginnings. I don't know whether you feel that you have arrived where you should. I don't know whether you believe that you have come to perfection. I don't know whether you believe there is nothing to improve. The truth of the matter is we all need the touch of God to do better. We need something to release us so we can walk away from the sin of our past to a life of new beginning. And I've heard people who said, no, God doesn't care about me. No, you don't know who I am. If you only knew who I am, you wouldn't even suggest that God can change me. Well, this man in Colorado, in prison, I don't think he could have done any more terrible things than he had already done. And yet, when God took over his life, when he surrendered his life to God, he changed, he became a brand new person. So there is a need for new beginnings. We need something to release us. Lazarus became ill, died, and was buried, and Jesus wasn't there. Sometimes it seems that God is not there when we really need him, and in our emptiness we panic or despair. But Jesus came, and Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, told Jesus how they wished he had come earlier. Jesus went to the grave and called Lazarus from the dead. He revived him and gave him a new beginning. God has the power to bring out of the deadness of our past, the emptiness of our present, and the vanity of our future, if we are willing to trust him and totally rely on him. And again, who was a good person before God touched his heart and life? Well, there are people who say that I don't need to be changed. I'm a good person. I've never committed a murder. I've never have stolen anything. I don't lie. And yet, the moment they say I don't lie, they've lied already, because there is no one perfect. No one is without sin. We all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. You know, when I speak, sometimes I wonder whether people really, really understand that God is present and God is able to change our lives. When I speak, sometimes I wonder whether I am reflecting Christ, whether I am being used by God for his glory. But then again, I remember, God reminds me that even when God came to this earth, Jesus, when he spoke, many did not respond, and some left him. So there is a call for each one of us, for an offer for a better and permanent life after death, and life on this earth that is full of joy and serenity and peace. Jesus came so our lives might be new and full again. God has the power to do that. Through him, he wants all those who believe in him and accept his gift of a new life to be freed from their past and start a new beginning. Jesus said, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest." Jesus said, "For whosoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life." So we are guilty. Religions are guilty. Churches may be guilty. Preachers may be guilty. Theologians may be guilty for not giving the message as it is in the Bible, as Jesus said it, guilty for confusing people, we are guilty for not really bringing out the truth as it is and complicating things. Jesus said, I've come to bring you peace and life. Jesus came so our lives might be new and full again. He is wanting to bring a living resurrection, a revival in your life. We are called to live the resurrected life, which has the potential of new beginnings, regardless of the circumstances of our present situation. In Revelation 21:5, we read, her who has seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. We have this opportunity once again. We have been promised a new life here and the hope of the new resurrection and resurrection life in heaven with God. If God sent His Son Jesus to become sin, taking our sins on Him and give us desperate people a new beginning, and if God would invest this much in you and in me for a new beginning, how grateful and thankful should we be, and what should we do then with this gift of life? I very often wonder when people go to church, when we go to church, we really go to meet Christ or bring Christ with us? Or do we go to church because it's the good thing to do, the right thing to do? Because I believe in my heart, if every one of us really, 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 really believed in God, that He is alive, and that Jesus is alive, and that the Holy Spirit is right here, and the Holy Spirit is in us, then our response to the Holy Spirit would be completely different than it is now. And I believe the Holy Spirit that is in us and is pushing us, is blessing us, and is calling us, and is convicting us, is not working, then there is not. That means that the Holy Spirit is not there. Because if the Holy Spirit is there, then we'll respond to the Holy Spirit. Am I saying that we're not born again believers? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we are so preoccupied. And you say, well, I got to work. Yes, you got to work. The Bible says, he who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. We got to work. You say, well, I have commitments. Yes, the Bible says our commitments should be respected. You say, well, I have a family. Yes, the Bible says we should be responsible for our family. And God has blessed the family. And God has given us children, or at least will give children to those who ask God. But the Bible also says that the family should be dedicated completely to God. And the Lord of the family, the Lord of the church, the Lord of the person should be God, Jesus Himself. If God is in everything I do, then everything I do becomes sacred and holy. Think about that. If God is in everything I do, then everything I do becomes sacred and holy. Now, if I do things that are not good, if I run away from my family, if I run away from the Word of God, if I stop praying, then these things mean that God is not where He should be in my life. He is not on the throne of my life. I've pushed Him away, and I put myself back on that throne. And I know people say, well, preaching, sermons, churches, tiresome. I've got my life to live. I have one life to live. And you know what? If God had led us left us the way we are without Christ, without His presence here. This would have been a hell, a burning hell. It has come close to that right now. When you hear mothers killing their children, fathers killing their children, people burning other people, when you hear all the rapes and the murders and the corruption in the government, you say, if not for God, what would this place be? The problem is, people around us are looking for role models, are looking for you and for me to show them the way. Two young people came the other day in our place of business, and they were very worldly looking in the way they talked. And then I started talking to them a little bit about the past and the today. And I don't know how, but God led me to start witnessing for them. They were in their 20s. And you know, at the end I realized that they were really convicted by the Holy Spirit. Not me. Who am I? But by the Holy Spirit. They didn't want to leave. And I gave them my trucks, the trucks we have. And I spoke to them for a while. People are searching to find. I forgot to say that the young lady said, no one speaks like you. And I remember the disciples. When they met Jesus, and they were with Jesus. And then when they were arrested and they were brought before the High Commission or the court or the whatever, and they were let go, and people around them, they knew that they quoted, and they said, the Bible quotes and says, they knew. They can see that they had been with Jesus. All we have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to use us. Now, does that mean that we have to become religious? No. You know what? Really, God hates religion. But what God wants us to do is to share with others how they can change their lives completely from discouraged, disappointed, miserable, looking for little crumbs here, little crumbs there, for a little sex there, a little drugs there, a little gambling there, a little something there to improve their life and to feel good, and nothing helps, and all they feel is they feel that nothing satisfies them anymore. The things they were searching for, they found them, they got them, they tried them, they used them, and now they still are empty and something is missing and nobody is telling them the truth. Everybody says, pray to the Lord, and I pray and nothing happens. Somebody says, say 20 Hail Marys and everything will be fine and nothing is going away. Others say, light some candles, and I light candles and nothing happens. Others say, do this and punish yourself, and nothing has changed the life of those who are searching to find peace. Our new beginnings, though, come with a price. The price is our will, our pride and sinful nature. But think of all the new things Christ will bring to us, including a new nature and eternal life. I don't know whether every one of us takes this seriously. I believe many millions of Christians go to church because that's the right thing to do. But to have a changed life is something that not very many people want. Oh, they want to change life. They want to get a better job. They want to have a better car. They want to find more peace. They want to find a bride or a man or whatever. But that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean in new life. A new life is you look around you and you like what you see. Even if they are corrupt, you know that God is in control. You don't like what you see in them, what they're doing, but you look at people and you really get to love people because they were created by your Creator too. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus concluded his letter to the church in Laodicea by saying, Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If any hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is at the door knocking, so he might bring to us our new beginnings. He said, I'll come in. In other words, Jesus wants to come in our lives and revive us. If Jesus wanted to come in to our own church, how and when would he come in? I know people have said this is a beautiful picture, Jesus knocking at the door. And again, theologies have distorted that picture. The word of the words here found in the words that Jesus said have been misunderstood. But Jesus would not lie, never lied. When he said, I have come to bring life, he came to bring life. When he said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him, he meant it. He didn't lie. He didn't mean something different. And when he says here, I stand at the door and knock, he really means it, that he is a gentleman. He is not going to break down the door to come in. It is up to you to open the door. It is up to me to open the door. I know that's not what many say. I know there are many pastors and sermons that are different. But I don't care who says what. I only believe in the Bible, and the Bible says very clearly that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For whosoever believes, every human being out there can be saved. People won't agree. I've heard pastors lately put on Facebook and everywhere that what I'm saying is wrong, that Jesus only died for the few select and the rest who are predestined to go to hell. I don't know. I'm not worshiping that God. The God that I am worshiping personally, and I hope every one of us, is the God of love, that love every human being. And Joshua said, choose for yourselves today whom you will follow. But as for me and my family, we will worship God, the living God. It's a choice. If Jesus wants to come into our church, how and when would he come in? Well, Jesus comes to church in your experiences and mine. He comes to church with insights and teachings of the Bible. He comes to church in the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen and see if he is knocking at the door of our church. Did you bring him with you today, or did you come looking for him? Very many people say, I'm going to church to be helped. I'm going to a church to see God, to meet God. That's wrong, actually. We have God in us if we are born again believers. So often we go to church to find Jesus and speak to him. But actually we ought to bring Jesus to church with us so others can find him through us. Jesus ought to be with us all the time. The question is not what the church is giving you, but rather what are you giving to others through the church. We need to share ourselves in an open, loving way and reach out and touch lives that need to be changed and revived. Just remember that through Jesus Christ we become new people. With a new nature and new values, and members of the body of Christ, the church. And the church, as God's new creation is the power force, and instrument of the Holy Spirit with a mission. And all of us are missionaries with a holy mission. Do you think that we as a church, as individuals, need a revival? A revival of our commitments to God and His service? I believe we do. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to each one of us. If there is something, Lord, that was not right or correct or according to your word, please erase it from our mind. And may only the things that you have said or put in our hearts and minds remain with us. And then help us, Lord, to accept your words and put them into practice. In your blessed name I pray, amen.